Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
As we have said all along, it's not about Israel. It's not about anti-Semitism. That's not to say it's not about Israel and anti-Semitism. This was the word from Indiana University. Graduation walkout from the IU Divest Now people, which are also known as the people who can't get laid. Graduation walkout, Saturday, May 4th. What, did I say something? Did I say something that wasn't true? Join us in wearing your keffiyeh along with your cap and gown. We will be walking out as Witten, who is the president of IU, Indiana University, Pamela Witten, begins to speak and march through campus before reaching the Liberation Zone. All of these campuses, they all have the same language because all of the language is extremely well coordinated. What is the Liberation Zone? Let me say to the people at Indiana University who are within the sound of my voice, you don't know what you're talking about. You sound like morons, and none of you should get hired. That's really awful because there's a lot of good graduates at IU. IU, actually, as a matter of course, a lot of Jewish students. I knew a lot of kids growing up who went to IU. They've got children now going to IU. My God, that's a weird thought. Tony Katz today. What is going on? Liberation Zone. That's what we call the program. That's what we are. Liberating minds from madness. I'm Tony Katz. Liberation Zone. These people really think that they're righteous. But what they are people who want to burn it all down, as we've discussed. Now, burn it all down is a crappy way to say it. It's cheap. It's cheap, and I think that when people utilize the terminology, it kind of hides exactly the desire. But more and more we see that these people are not hiding their desires. These people on these college campuses, they're as terrible as you think, and as violent as you think, and as dangerous as you think. And they are supported. Like, for example, this is Chris Hayes from MSNBC, who is a beta. This is not a man. This is not somebody of strength or conviction. This is not somebody you look up to. This is someone who looked at Rachel Maddow and said, I could be her, but more feminine. And went to X to say, and I'm quoting, I feel like I'm losing my mind a little. People understand that occupying buildings on campus is like one of the most common forms of student protest for decades and not some devious new ploy devised by professional anarchist plotters, right? Question mark. You could take over a building and it's fine, but if that building happens to be the Capitol on January 6th, you should be shot. Let him try and make that argument. But he's not trying to make an argument. He is defending the indefensible because he agrees with what they do. He agrees with the idea that they should be able, whether it's students or what we know clearly are these professional agitators, they should be allowed carte blanche and we should give in. So when we discuss the idea of burn it all down, let us understand the basic premise is they believe they can do whatever it is they want, and you should give in that way it'll stop. So when we make the argument about Mao, Chairman Mao, and the Cultural Revolution and the struggle sessions, when we make the argument that they would take people who would not give in to Mao's insanity and put them in front of the local townspeople, tens of people or hundreds of people or thousands of people, and put the dunce cap on them and try and humiliate them and shame them until they would break. That is what's happening to all of us. That's what they're trying to do. Occupying a building means violently taking it. As a matter of fact, there is no other way to do it. Let's say there's nobody in the building. Let's say there's not another human being, not another life form in the building, and 50 of these lowlifes, because what am I supposed to call them? Decent people? If they were decent people, they wouldn't be occupying a building. They then occupy the building. The building belongs to someone. And these people decided that the building belonging to someone wasn't enough to keep them out. As a matter of fact, they did not have to honor those property rights, nor did they have to honor any social contract. Now, we should note in the buildings that these terrible, awful people have taken over, they've also engaged in graffiti and the destruction of property. In the view of Chris Hayes of MSNBC, who I'm told is an intellectual, this is standard. Why don't you just accept it? Well, because it's not to accept. Because I believe in personal property rights, and you don't have the right to occupy another person's building. Well, you see, there's the problem. Personal property, that's the issue. And now you start seeing exactly where their minds are. When they occupy the building, they don't believe the building serves any other purpose than their twisted message. And anybody being affected by the building being occupied, well, it's inconsequential. If it costs them money, who cares? If the property gets destroyed, who cares? Because the property shouldn't even belong to them. That's part of the problem as they see it. The only way one can say that occupying buildings is like the way they do it is to make the assumption that the building deserves to be occupied and we should all accept it. Not a question of it doesn't matter if it's happened for decades. It would be wrong for decades. If I were to change it like this, and let's say Chris Hayes said this, I feel like I'm losing my mind a little. People understand that having slaves is like one of the most common forms of farming for decades and not some devious new ploy devised by professional anarchists, plotters, right? People had slaves for forever in the course of history. How does that make it the standard? Or a standard that should be somehow upheld or appreciated or supported? Sure, there were slaves in the United States, and there were slaves in South America. And of course, there were slaves in Africa, where black men and black women were slaves to other black men and black women, and black men and black women sold black men and black women into slavery. Nicole Hannah-Jones never wants to talk about history, because history is ugly. Slavery was the norm of the world. And in Chris Hayes' view, how dare you stop it? Maybe that's why he's a Democrat. Neither here nor there. This is from the campus of UCLA, where you have two of the protesters. One would assume that they're students, and they're wearing the keffiyeh. Look at how supportive we are. And masks, because they're either don't want their faces shown or they're all just scared little children. But really, it's a symbol. It's this symbol of this is how we tell ourselves apart from rational folk. At this stage of the game, people wearing masks are not rational folk. I have made the argument since COVID started that some people may want to wear a mask. Maybe they're not healthy. Maybe they're not well. And they have an issue. Okay, I'm not going to stop them. But since it's become so political and the people wearing masks are usually looking amongst the most sickly and beta male amongst us, like Chris Hayes, clearly wearing the mask is a symbol that one wants to be oppressed, that one hates oneself. Very obvious. But listen to these two. Well, it's really one. It's two of them at the microphone, but one woman really doing the speaking.
Yeah, I think it's more than divestment as well. I think given the fact that the University of California is founded on colonialism, it's inherently a violent institution. There needs to be an addressment of U.S. imperialism and its ties to the UC system and how it perpetuates war and violence abroad. Not only abroad, but also here, locally.
Why do you go to UCLA? Why do you go to the university? It's colonialist, it's imperialist, it's a violent institution. Why do you go? Let's talk again about burning it all down. Do you think this is a woman who has any desire to lead a happy life? Has anything to contribute to American society? She hates the society. America's terrible. And to prove it, I'm going to go to a terrible university and spend my money. She's spending her money. Well, maybe she's spending your money. She's spending her money to go to a terrible university. Doesn't UCLA understand? Doesn't NYU or Columbia understand? Do we not all understand that there is nothing you can do to make these people happy except give in? Agree with them and let them have it. Just like the building. If UCLA is this colonialist power built on savagery and violence and contributing to imperialism, what shot do the rest of us have? I mean, I drive a Hummer for the love of God. What shot do I? I have an H3 and a 1996 Ford Bronco. I am enemy number one. No shot for the rest of us. Oh, and they weren't done.
We see this with the brutality, the police brutality that black and brown students face here at UCLA, Arab students, Muslim students, Palestinian students. And I myself have personally been faced those violences that the UC has perpetuated and continues to perpetuate. It's not just a means of divestment. It's a divestment from Zionism. Mm-hmm.
So from colonialism to imperialism to police brutality to, oh yeah, Zionism, that's right, that's what we're talking about. I get confused because everything's terrible and everyone's terrible. That's right, it's Zionism that's the thing. You think she knows what she's saying? She just threw words at you. None of it's real. Like Marxism, it's not real. But every single thing is bad. Every single thing is terrible. And this child magically knows best. All socialists are elitists, right? That's the basic premise. All socialists are elitists and know better than you how a society should be run and knows better than you what's really happening and knows better and cares more and feels deeper. And therefore, you should listen to them and be thankful. Always, 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 always. And no matter what it is you want to defend, that's the worst thing. Whatever it is you believe, that's the most awful thing. Whatever it is you want to engage that subject, that's the most terrible thing. Always, always, always. The conversation about burning it down, I relate to the idea of personal property as I have about the occupying of buildings. But we should be clear that when we discuss the concept of burning it down, and the reason I don't think the expression really encapsulates the issue, is that what they're trying to burn down is not the building, they'll destroy it, is not the town, they'll destroy it, is not the infrastructure, they'll destroy it. What they want to burn down is your mind. Your ability to think, to share, to express, to coalesce the vapors and come up with an idea, a thought, original, yours, felt deep in your heart and your soul. That's what they want to burn down. You have seen on your social media feeds countless videos of people being asked questions. You're chanting from the river to the sea. What river and what sea? And they have no idea what it is that they're saying. They have no idea how to answer. Every single time, the response goes like this. They don't know. Knowing is the enemy. Knowing is the problem. Knowing is the issue. Knowing is the thing that will get you in trouble. Knowing is the thing that is dangerous. And knowing is the thing that is unacceptable. It's not that they don't know because they don't know. It's because asking the question could get them excommunicated. So they don't ask. They just follow. The mind was burned down. That's who they are. That's what they do. That's what they believe. That's what they desire. And if you will not come willingly, they will come at you violently. Not only do these university quote-unquote protests prove that, but history proves that. And when do they scream the loudest? When the police come in. When they act with violence, it's just what they do. You should accept it. But when you respond with a lawful force accountable to the people, they lose their minds. They claim you're overly militarized and they say you're the problem. Marxism really is some insidious stuff. But that's the best way I could describe burn it all down. I don't yet have a better terminology for it. But I thought it was important to define it. Chris Hayes is a valueless man who, yes, has allowed himself to burn it all down. And the students at UCLA, well, I think she speaks for way too many. We should know what it is that we're up against and how it isn't going away just because we clear out an encampment. This fight has existed for decades, and it's not going away tomorrow. I'm Tony Katz. It was a crazy story to me that Moderna is beating sales estimates on COVID vaccines. People are still buying COVID vaccines? No, I don't mean they're still buying that it works. They're actually getting the vaccine? Still? Can I, honest question, why? Tony Katz, Tony Katz today. What is going on, everybody? Find it all at TonyKatz.com. I never got angry with people who took the vaccine. I don't think that those people are evil people. I think that if you are an adult and you've already had children and you wanted to take it, made sense to me. Fine. Good. Now you could be like, Tony, how could you say that? You took a look at what people knew at the time. They decided this is something they were going to do and they did it. That's it. They decided they had to do it or they wouldn't have a job. They did it. I'm not saying that that's good. I'm saying that that's despicable. But grown-ups made decisions and I'm okay with that. The idea that you would give your child a vaccine or you're somebody thinking of having kids yourself, I have never been able to understand that. But I really try not to, like if you decide to do it, you decide to do it. And yes, it's totally okay to talk about complications and issues. It's also okay to say that the vast majority of people who have taken vaccines, depending on where they're from, are totally fine. Well, we don't know for the future. That much is true. We don't know much of anything for the future. And the future is going to tell us quite a bit. But I'm talking about now. Someone is seriously on a regular taking COVID vaccines or boosters? I cannot begin to understand that at all. I cannot begin to see how that is. So Moderna, posting a narrower than expected loss for the first quarter, as reported by CNBC, but sales of its COVID vaccine topped estimates. I am just floored by that information. Then you could see how people did things. You could argue rightly, wrongly, etc. Because some people took it and they're totally, they may not recommend it for others, but they're fine. And some people are like, that's crazy. And some people never took it, etc. Now, I got to admit, I find that I would find that questionable. If someone told me today they were still taking booster shots, I would say, oh, why? I think I'd have the winning argument based on the science. Find it all at TonyKatz.com. This is Tony Katz Today.
So we're going to go in right now, and I will comment just quickly on the colleges and universities. It's a shame. I'm so proud of the New York's finest. They're great. They're great people, too. I know so many of them. They're incredible. They did a job at Columbia. And likewise, in Los Angeles, they did a really good job at UCLA. It was very much embedded. And just so you understand, this is the radical left. This is a movement from the left, not from the right. The right is not your problem. Despite what, like, law enforcement likes to say, the FBI director said that he worries about the right. Now, don't worry about the right. The right's fine. Worry about the left, because this is a movement from the left. These are radical left lunatics. And they got to be stopped now, because it's going to go on, and it's going to get worse and worse. And, you know, they take over countries, okay? And we're not letting them take over the USA. We're not letting the radical left morons take over this country. You can't let that happen. And the law enforcement and the people at DOJ, instead of going after Donald Trump, they ought to look at what's happening in their own offices, because you're loaded up with radical left people that want this country to fail. And we're not going to let this country fail. Thank you very much.
I do love it when he talks about himself in the third person. I don't know what it is. It's just, It just gives me a great bit of joy. Tony Katz today, 833-468-8669-833. Got Tony, that is the number. Trump, he was on the campaign trail the other day because it was a day off from the trial.
Very much. So as you know, late last night we got back from Michigan. We went to Wisconsin and Michigan yesterday. We had tremendous rallies, sold out rallies. They were packed, and the enthusiasm's never been better. So that was a great thing, and it was nice to be able to campaign one day without being in this ridiculous show trial, Biden trial, I call it. But it was quite a day yesterday, and many of you were there, and I appreciate your being there. I thought the coverage was very fair.
Oh, look at that. Even nice to the press. Jeepers. He isn't allowed to campaign because he has to be there every day of the trial. The judge has ordered it, and so he has to be there. This trial, as we know, this hush money trial, I just hate the terminology so dang much. It is nonsense, and every time Trump brings up the fact that this is election interference, he's absolutely right.
We're down at the trial now, getting ready to spend another day in the courthouse, which is bogus trial that every leading authority on law says this should never have been brought, that Alvin Bragg didn't want to bring it until the election happened, and then he brought it. You just do know that this case could have been brought 8 years ago. Could have been brought 8 years ago. Instead, they wait and wait and wait. They know it's not a good case, and now it's turned out to be they've lost every, I mean, they have no case. They have no case, but we have a very conflicted judge, unfortunately, and so you never know. But other than that, there's no case, and it should have never been brought. But if it was going to be brought, it should have been brought 8 years ago. You know, we're talking about 2015, 2016. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. And they wait till I announce, and then they start their action, and then they wait till prime time, Super Tuesday. It all started Super Tuesday, the biggest day, which we won every single thing. I mean, Super Tuesday was a big day for me, but that's when it all really came into being. And who starts a case right smack in the middle of somebody's elections? It should be illegal because it's election interference.
That argument, I think, works with a fair amount of Americans. The idea that the timing of these trials is not suspect is purposeful in every single way. I think it absolutely works, and I tell you that my view on this certainly has not changed. That this is all political, that, and I'm not saying anything new there. I think we're in really basic levels of agreement that this is stuff that could have been brought years ago. I don't know if it would be eight, but it could have been brought at least 3 years ago. And this is all being done to interfere with an election. Nobody should fall for this or be okay with this. We should be disgusted that there are people who think so little of the American justice system that this is allowed, who think that we should really be thrust into Banana Republic world. But I'm starting to take more of a look at this in the guise of Trump versus Biden, that Biden's actually going to stay on the ticket. And you guys have heard me. I was not a believer. There's just no way they cannot go forward. I always gave the basic caveat. The basic caveat was, if he's on, that means they can't find anybody else. And they believe that Trump threat to democracy and abortion can get a victory. I said the other day that I had somebody who I know, like, and trust, somebody who does this political prognostication for a living, share their thoughts with me that, oh, absolutely, it's going to be Biden. And really based on the theory that I provided, which is there's nobody else. I had argued that it was too late. And then I heard you loud and clear. It's a Democratic Party. They'll replace anybody at any time. And certainly that's a convincing argument. Then I got presented with this, which is the idea that they believe their best opportunity is Trump threat to democracy, abortion, 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 and let the cable news outlets and the news outlets carry the heavy water. Well, they may be on to something. They may actually see it that way. And they may, when I say be on to something, they might think that this works. They may have some internals that show its success. Or certainly, they have a problem with the idea of replacement. You can't get them to stop, and you have nobody who's willing to sit them down. Joe Biden's a sitting president of the United States. How are you going to stop him from running? You have to sit him down. And as was said to me, the problem isn't Joe. The problem is the apparatus. They want to be president. The party may not want it. The party may realize the problem. But the apparatus, which is Biden Inc., they want it. And so they're going to continue, and there's no way to stop that. Okay. Biden's going to be the nominee. This makes me look again at things that Trump is saying and whether or not they resonate, whether or not they create value, because Trump very often says things that don't create him a value. They may create some excitement amongst the base, but they don't actually allow for the outreach to new people, which is a serious issue. This argument that he just gave regarding the statement he just made regarding this is all political and this is election interference, I believe connects and engages outreach, which I greatly appreciate and desire. So, by the way, does this.
The economy, people are asking me about the economy. It's doing terribly, and interest rates are obviously not going to be able to be reduced prior to the election because inflation is roaring back. Gasoline's way up, other things are way up, and it's roaring back like they are very surprised. I'm not surprised, but they're surprised. I guess they're surprised. That's what they say anyway. So that's on the economy. It looks pretty bleak for interest rates, and I don't think there's any way they can cut them because inflation's very up. Inflation, remember, is a country buster. When you have inflation, that breaks countries. I mean, literally breaks countries, and we can't take that chance. So we'll see what they do, but it was sort of announced yesterday they can't do much with the interest rates. They'll have to remain very high, and that's very unfortunate. We had low interest rates. They have high interest rates. That's very unfortunate. When you compare my economy to this economy, not even a contest. We had the greatest economy in history, and now we have sort of a lousy economy. But the problem with the economy is the inflation. And anything you made, you more than gave back. We call it a 50% tax. It's a Biden tax. It's called an inflationary tax. And it's about 50%. And that's what it is, whether you like it or not. And it's too bad.
All inflation is a tax. I mean, if your dollar is worth less, you're paying more for the same good and service. It's a tax. It is what it is. So he's correct about that, and he's also correct about the economy being a problem, and he should stay on that. And he should be engaging. Yes, it's a problem, but it's really terrible for Black and Brown Americans. Utilize their language against them. I know, it drives me nuts. It's bad for everybody regardless of their skin color, but utilize their language against them. You might as well. So this was all the commentary that he gave outside of the courtroom there. I don't know if he's in a hallway or is he in his parking garage. I never know. Before he went into the court, before court began. But one of the interesting stories about Trump is that his team is really unhappy because the debate commission is saying, oh, we'll allow debates, but they're going to start after early voting. So early voting in some places starts in like September, and the first debates happen later. So how in the world does one have a debate? How in the world does this happen? Or vote, after debates have started. This is basically what the Trump team is saying, that the debate commission is being ridiculous and doing everybody a disservice by putting out there that debates can happen after the voting has already started. There are three debates scheduled. September 16th at Texas State University, October 1st in Petersburg, Virginia, and then October 9th in Salt Lake City, which I think are interesting places because maybe only Virginia is really a toss-up state in that way. But it's an interesting argument that why are we having this so late? But then again, why would I believe that Joe Biden's going to show up to a debate? Because he said so? He was on Howard Stern's show. Oh, what a mess that was. And he's like, yeah, I'm happy to debate him. You're happy to debate him? Your team is going to let you debate? Your team is going to trust you on a debate stage? Well, let's be clear. This is a conversation about expectations. All politics is an expectations game. If you think Biden can't tie his shoes and he's going to stand up there, stammer, and wet himself, and he actually is able to get out three cogent sentences, he exceeds expectations. That's the news story. But that's a pretty big bet. I mean, unless you're going to have these debates at 1:30 in the afternoon, that's a huge bet. The debate commissioner said, we're not changing anything. We're good the way we are. Thank you very much. And this is the way it's going to be. And have a nice day. Peace out. Okay. All right. You better believe that these debates are going to be terrible and slanted. And there will be no push from the RNC to get moderators in there who will actually moderate and not engage narrative. I wouldn't be surprised if Candy Crowley was a moderator. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. This is Tony Katz Today.
We've all seen the images. And they put to the test two fundamental American principles. Excuse me. The first is the right to free speech and for people to peacefully assemble and make their voices heard. The second is the rule of law. Both must be upheld. We are not an authoritarian nation where we silence people or squash dissent. The American people are heard, In fact, peaceful protest is in the best tradition of how Americans respond to consequential issues. But neither are we a lawless country. We are a civil society, and order must prevail. Throughout our history, we've often faced moments like this because we are a big, diverse, free-thinking, and freedom-loving nation. In moments like this, there are always those who rush in to score political points. But this isn't a moment for politics. It's a moment for clarity. So let me be clear. Peaceful protest in America. Violent protest is not protected. Peaceful protest is. It's against the law when violence occurs. Destroying property is not a peaceful protest. It's against the law. Vandalism, trespassing, breaking windows, shutting down campuses, forcing the cancellation of classes and graduations. None of this is a peaceful protest.
He happens to be right that none of that is a peaceful protest. It took Joe Biden this long to make a statement? You mean after yesterday and Corinne Jean-Pierre just getting abused by Peter Ducey about why there's so much silence coming from the White House, why won't Joe Biden talk about this?
President Biden historically has spoken very forcefully about anti-Semitism. But this week he's not. He's MIA. Is he that worried about losing the youth vote with these protesters?
I'm going to be mindful. You're talking about youth vote. You're talking about 2024.
Yeah, I can't talk about it because of the election. You don't want to just admit it. That's exactly why he hasn't said anything till now. A perfectly crafted statement, which wasn't perfect. And yes, they're kowtowing to the most leftist elements in the party. I mean, that's just what's happening. It's super obvious. Clear as day. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. Tomorrow, everyone. Take care.